1 Timothy 1:12 through 17. This is found on page 1177. We are in page 1177. We're in 1 Timothy, moving not a rapidly paced by any stretch of the word. We'll probably be on page 1177 for a couple more weeks, and we'll go to 1178. But we are in the middle of this important introduction. We call this message the Christian testimony. The point about this, Paul is telling a story, somewhat of a subjective story, a story of his life, testimony, which is what a testimony is. It's telling a story of what God has done, what God has done in me and through me. We live in a world of storytelling. I buy every Sunday I have for all my parents, if I can continue the truth. But every Sunday for the last, I get 20% I bought the church. It's the only, I would think, mainline media I stop to consume at this point. And it doesn't take much time to do this because I get most of the articles. But in the last couple of years, especially the main, you want to get an idea for the story that the woke and the world and the Marxist culture is telling. All you have to do is just glance at the lines of the Sunday church. It is a story. They tell a story. It's a story which affects how they view everything, whether it's beliefs, their trials, their people. It's a story that the world is a dark and hopeless place. It's a story that everything is against you and is defeated. The very powers God has ordained must be upended so that we can find somehow this hope in some utopia that doesn't exist right now. It's a story that tells opposition. And from a Christian standpoint, it's a story of blame shifting. It's a story of victimhood. Everybody's a victim. It's a story of politics where you're broken up into groups of people based on your skin color or your socioeconomic status. And it's an unbridgeable gap unless we can somehow take over or you can change. That's the story that they tell. It's a dark story. Friends, Christianity is a story. It's the story. There's a story to the world, full of meaning and reality. If it starts with you, the story they tell says that your meaning is not who you are as a person, how God has made you, but what the culture tells you you're supposed to be. The distinction between meaning and what your personality is, what you want to be. There is an alternative, an antithesis, the story of the world. The story told by God, who created all things. It is the story of the great cosmic battle. But the question we might ask today is, if it's a story in which we know God wins and God is winning, where is the victory today? People and souls. Where it seems like, especially here, I think we can recognize there's Paul and Timothy had a much lesser majority in their population than we do today as far as the Christian faith. And yet Paul's story today, what he's going to do this time is one of great victory. And we've seen the victory of Christ, and we can too. There's a story that's told to the Christian that will not change if you believe and trust in Jesus Christ. It's a story of new birth and of testimony to the Lord, one that cannot be taken away from you if you are in Christ Jesus. So let's stand and read the Christian testimony. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I think it's 16, we'll read through 17 this morning. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Just on the bottom left-hand column, final couple of lines. I thank him who has given me strength, Jesus Christ our Lord, because he has judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are believing for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, God. This ends the reading of His holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word will stand forever. He may be seated. Where was our first sentence? What do we know? We know this is a letter by Paul written to Timothy, pastor, a young pastor of a young church who was under the direct assault of a relentless enemy. How? False teachers are prevalent. They've been, we've learned in 1 through 11, they've been teaching against the faith of God. See here in Christianity that their unity of faith, sound doctrine, there's a story of Christianity. We're telling a different story, telling a half story. They've done this, these false teachers, not by coming in, but going off in their face mask, and all of a sudden, Satan would be born and they tell a different story, and the words of Satan. I don't know. How do they do this? Like they always do. They do it today, right? They do it by a speculative approach. It's like the serpent did Eve, right? Did God really say it? So you acknowledge what he said, but you doubt it, you speculate, but really what I know. It's not what we need here, right? By quickly, by protecting your ass, kind of like turning on a self-help manual, which makes people confused, and then they're going to get the answer. They're going to do what God really said. So instead of what some doctrine is that we do want to pick the word really, we say, hey, look at what it said. We call it the doctrine of virtue. How do I pronounce that word? I mix it up every time. Spectacular. The right word. But it's the point. Oh, when you read it, it's God. And here's why. Here's his story. This is made right with God. Those people always create doubt in that. We're going to tell you, get the secrets of God to you. Today we might say that these false teachers, and again, we see there's nothing new under the sun. Every generation exists. They're really not anything new. They just kind of repackaged themselves, but they always get the same issues, right? Denying the greatness of God and denying the sinfulness of man. They're functional human. Right? Man really isn't that sinful. We're going to say, I overcome the bad stuff. They have different names, right, different books, but they really do all the same. This way, you can read a book written 120 years ago, in the early 1900s, about liberalism, and you go, wow, these false teachers, they got their ideas from 120 years ago, exactly, right? Nothing's changed under the sun. If we can recognize this, that is where discernment comes, that's where we can be freed to find out what is. We can separate the good from the bad and the true from the half-truth. And we come back to a simple, clear word of the Lord and a clear understanding of that. Today, though, we might say that the false teachers present themselves either like they did there as self-help therapists, right? You're really a good person. Let me tell you how to even be better, find your true self, or the know-it-all gurus, right? They say, well, you know, every other pastor, every other teacher's drunk, but I figured it out, right? Now, me in the 21st century, I got the secret knowledge from God, and it's just a special thing, and I'll tell you how to really interpret the Bible. Right? Now the question is, they don't lack confidence. They're very confident in what they teach, but it's nonsense what they teach. Timothy was not able to tolerate this or to converse on this. He was contend against this. What we find here right away is very different than our culture today where we want to be nice and we want to, you know, well, you know, maybe it's okay. I mean, they have a different view, but that's okay. We recognize within the church there are variances of what we believe about the minor things, but not on the major thing. But Timothy was doing, when it becomes a major issue, which is a salvation break, denying functionally the doctrine of salvation, functionally the simpleness of, you're not going to tolerate that. You're condemned against that. So what Paul is reminding him is, you have great authority here. That's not ultimate authority. You don't create your authority. They're the ones creating the authority. You have authority because God's word is authority. authority over every situation in life, but real authority on the main thing of God, according to the word of God, as a true pastor. He was content to contend against the opponents. They're at peace with some. There's that. He heard all the bad ideas and build up in the true faith. But also, he was to contend against their corrupt lifestyles with integrity and their abuse of people with the love for all to be freed under the worship of God and the gospel. So not only was he to contend against the abuse, but as we see the theme verse, there's a totally different methodology, a totally different atmosphere. If sound teachers divide, create confusion, their lives never match up to the word of God. There's always secret sin. There's always, you can't live like this in unrepentance without people coming to the surface. That's why the Bible says, know what teacher, no false teacher. Not that we know what their false teacher, but look at the Bible, look at the word. So the works is the love of God, a feeling for the Lord. What do you see immediately? Look at verse 5. He says, the game of our part. They're divided, right? And it creates speculation. Our charge is love. The issue is a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So when you teach Timothy, the word of God is, yes, you tear down the body, but you build people up in love and emulate and be within the body of Christ. Pure heart, clean consciousness, free people, sincere faith. So it's not all these things. Right away, it's like Paul writes his letter to Timothy. And you know, he turns up to volume 10. But there's not a real long introduction, a meeting with some here to continue the false teaching. Now he digressed it, so to speak. And now he inserts himself by his personal testimony. So the question I want to ask is, why is it here? And why does he have this here in this book? It's just, I mean, an old man, he's kind of freaking his way, just kind of rambling on. It doesn't make any sense. No. No, not at all. There's a reason for this. And you probably maybe heard a sermon on this before. It's a pretty common passage of scripture. So we're just going to preach this text. There's a number of sermons we preach, a number of things from this. You know, this in one way we can see Paul's testimony here. He's going to conclude the next week. We cover this in a couple weeks. How to wage a good warfare. You know, if you want to read this passage alone, 12 through 20, this is how to wage good warfare. How do you counter false teachers? What is your testimony? What does your life say? Here's another one. How do you know if you're really a Christian? Are there certain elements of this testimony that are not protected? Really, you know, not everybody is going to say, well, I was a murderer in the background and I persecuted Christians, but there are elements of this that represent all of us that are to be necessary for every testimony. You're cultivating delay. You notice at the end of this, who gets the credit? God does. Here's another one. How do you share your testimony without endlessly talking about yourself? I mean, what do you get to? What does a Christian testimony look like? Or, you could also do a sermon that would say, this is what it would be like if it weren't for Christ. This is what your life would be. The form would be all of us. If not in practice, in heart. If not for Jesus Christ. So for you young people that are listening today, whenever you see those lists in the Bible, praise the Lord if you've got one of the boring testimonies. I don't think there's any boring testimony. But I hope and pray that as you are made aware of the gospel of Christ, repent of your own sin, what we teach here, from the pulpit, formatively in Sunday school, Wednesday night at a kids' club, through your parents, your families, through the church, I hope and pray that you would live with purposeful life, even in your young adult years, in your junior high school years, that you would not go down that path. The Proverbs warn us that we don't come to the point, there's no presumption that we sin, we're going to come out of it again. The Bible says, always invest in your faith. Now, pray the Lord. Paul, God, send me to the brethren. There's a lot of people to deal with that. We want you to be difficult, but we want you to be purposeful and receive those ongoing blessings of the Lord and to promise the Lord that you can always stay friends. You can always say, you know what? I think God does this with me, if not for the grace of God. This is who I am. Is outside of Jesus Christ. This is how I'm judged. I'm born into it. Even if I'm not committed major crimes that people are known for, this is my heart. So I need to think a little bit about testimonies. So during your testimony, it's not abnormal. I grew up in the evangelical church. We talked a lot about how to share your testimony. Every now and then we have a special occasion, bring in a missionary or somebody who has just, you know, wild, crazy testimony. Good times for the folks. We have ill-informed testimonies today. When you think about the prevalence of this, we would see some testimonies given. We come up with all the amazing things that God has done for me. I was going on this path. God did this. God did that. I prayed for this. God did this. Certainly, we should pray for things. And we did it. We didn't look things. It's not it's a contractual agreement. We got this enough. We hear the top bug screen or a bug screen. You know, I tried Jesus and he didn't. How am I doing this to them? This is what I do to Jesus. But I found myself with them. That's what we praise the Lord God. Hopelessness and nihilism, just flipping this like darkness. We see that today. He's talking about every extreme hopelessness. Right? It creates a cynicism or puts a cynicism on. It's very easy to merely be against things. This appears with the country of Christian leaders that are out there and the internet. They're going to tell you they're going to tell you what's wrong with them. And in what we need to be, we need to recognize them. However, here's the danger today. There's a danger today of angry againstism. You got it. We're just against everything. Angry dudes have an absolutely big problem and point out the problem. Rarely ever build up anyone in the most holy faith. But what are they for? When Jesus Paul's testimony by the Christian in this. Yes, we tell what is wrong with the world, but we tear down so that we may build up. And we have every weapon that's actually for the world, and we have the power to destroy so why do we build up the most holy faith? What it means to follow. Here it is. We get to the victory, freedom, love, and triumph. Christianity, friends, here's the man. To build them up again. And that is the story of Paul. How do we cultivate this? How do we cultivate in a world like this? How did Paul, as he's writing from a prison cell, not famous or ushered into glory as he should have been, ushered into infamy, beaten, blind, mistreated again and again? He's not going to end his life in a nice, comfortable garden and hurt him home or moving along. He's going to be killed for the faith. His time is coming. And yet, there's nothing to press or feed. That was Paul. I mean, he's just a special guy. He's going to be a unique person. How is he making it? Against the backdrop of cynicism, angry cynicism, against the backdrop of false teachers and depressed Christians, hear the true testimony and pray. The proofs from the apostle that he killed all the apostle of the heart set free. That this is clearly a man that those in the prison school was truly free. But not merely was he free, but he cultivated his freedom. Why did he keep going to the past? You're going to hear some when he talks about who he was, Christian church. There's a certain point that you go, okay, get over yourself. But you don't need to keep bringing up. parts the Christian has without the Spirit knowing the Christian. The culmination of this testimony is what keeps us in faith. What does Paul say here? There's a number of things this testimony does. The first thing, the gospel search, the gospel's repurposing, the gospel's power, and the gospel's focus. And when I say the gospel, I mean the work of God through Jesus Christ to save his people. Okay? First, the gospel search, number one, Jesus Christ the Lord, because he is faithful. Appoint me to a service. Go, formerly I was a blessed opponent, but I receive mercy because of ignorance and unbelief. Right away, incredible gratitude with Mark's testimony. Why? Because of what he was, where he was headed, and what happened to bring him out of this helped this he was not. You remember the story. Because it's the final step. I believe everybody who's going to hell is a person who is functional and in their life blaspheming God. But this is great news. Can you be forgiven of public blasphemy? Yes, all of us, right? Blasphemy is the unforgiven in the final analysis. You know God, I will trust in a lot of things that Satan so, therefore, you must be forgiven of blasphemy. It must be in this life. It must be what you broke with. One sentence of this, when somebody comes to the defense, they are being forgiven a blasphemy. It's a ground, maybe not directly speaking against God, but they were kind of the middle road. I mean, there's a ton of people out there, right? That's not going to be against God, it's going to be for him. I'll choose it some other time. And that's what you're doing. You're always either for or for Christians. There's no middle ground. How do you forgive him? The second thing that questions really helpful in this, it reminds us of the doctrine of repentance. It's not really to check off the right boxes. We must be changed. We must change. This even repentance is not the way by which those who are made aware of the Holy Spirit of the evil person and faith in Christ humble themselves for a God. service and had great God perspective. Every service that has not really a move forward, which they've done better. But right now, we can just, we don't love the grace of God. We use God for our own purposes. With that change, we're going to have a change of mind. Our struggle for their sin. They pay for the part, no longer make excuses. Yes, my family, maybe my family's going to have hard circumstances, but I chose it. Up as a good guy. Teacher, murderer. Friends, the human of God-given soul, we are in God's image with a God-given mind, and we are wired to both pursue and pursue. So how can we deliver from our sincere, self-absorbed, godly zeal? We've all said that we live in a middle age, and to a certain degree, there's some truth to that. And if you really want to think about it, we've been dedicated to the wrong pursuits. Right? We won't spend time with the Lord, but we will spend in order to make a video game. We won't make it to church regularly, but maybe we can make a sports game. Right? We don't have time for that, but we've got plenty of time to really internet or read the paper or whatever else. Brush with the company. That's the more small thing that we've got to live with. All this world of distractions. The distractions of the world are our desire for peace or desire for comfort. And we think we owe something by God. Or you remain not committal neutral, you do not have salvation. Salvation presumes to be saving. And only a humble person before the law of God knows. Only the one who is able to identify themselves, not be pulled with it, because you come right before the law of God. That is me. That's who I am. And maybe everybody else will maybe know me. That's who I am. Philippians 2, Paul, one of the parable that Philippians 3, 4, through 7. Although I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Here's Paul said, circumcised on the 8th day, going to kill the temple. I have more confidence. If confidence is how religion you can be, this is the point. I would turn it on the people of Israel. Sabbath, they parade on the Sabbath. Jesus would heal the poor on the Sabbath. They showed that the religious lesson how much better they were than the poor on the Sabbath. That was wrong. Whatever I had to gain, I not found it lost for the sake of Christ. Indeed, everything is lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ is my Lord. For he has kept the loss of all things and called this rubbish in order that I may gain all, I may gain Christ. It's an incredible sobering thing to look at. Go, all the things that I've gained in my life, religiously, good enough, rubbish, it's worth the rubbish, worth the judgment, but all the worth of Christ. All those things are meaningless to give Jesus Christ. Friends, when speaking of God, always leads to evil acts against people. Use the religion to demand people to be the therapist. This is the end of the great people. He was so jealous. He was trying to commit murder in his jealousy. Truly have come to the end. That's a crucial question. For a more distinct scripture, I find the answer to that. That was Paul. But also, we have to remind the people that the name is the Apostle of is the one who is forgiven that loves much. And the one who is forgiven that loves a little. God uses I love that God is the impossible. All your life and work. And God in his kind providence and all of us now upbringing all its deal. And not for the purpose of God's kingdom. I'm on the street. And I was aptly ran across the street. Now that you all know that as in high school, you know, high school then, and you don't really think about this ever. But I pray for the Lord that God uses so much. Even in public, especially Christian. And zeal and building up of all the areas. We'll talk more about that. It's not everything different. Not everything, even spiritually different. We can work very hard for God. Build families. We can share the God. We can be committed to church. There's purpose and it's life giving purpose within the body of Christ. But Paul would say here, I thank God that when I became a Christian, when I stayed here, he got the passion for prison. Even in spite of the temptation, the Lord will be perfect. This is a great wonderful thing. This is why I want to make the church a place that's both masculine and feminine. A place that's a person to the Holy Spirit in this body of Christ. Go, you can be who God has created to be purposes. We're going to put the church to be free. As men and women, husbands and wives, workers, employers, employees, neighbors, God created the world in such a way that he needs this Christian. How long the world will last, and however that we're to expand the kingdom, living for his glory. But we also notice here, Paul repurposed. God do what a person who is forgiven. What is the great gift of Jesus Christ? You not only give the past, but to move it forward to the future. Faith and love is the theme verse of verse 5. Paul was changed by grace. The same grace that changes him believes and repents. Not everybody is going to be a great leader. They may not have been called up. They were worried by whatever the first word was. Their faith by the servant of the Lord. Paul was just a Christian. He is a Christian. This is the gospel. It's worthy to be fully accepted. Third thing, the gospel's power. First, the main gospel is the full acceptance. For this reason, as Christ. But I'm thinking about the birth, the pain in that. A dead bird does not come alive again without the intervention of CPR, the same as the dead bird. The spider don't hurt birds, does not come alive without the Holy Spirit. Change them. What I'm thinking about is supernatural change. As the Holy Spirit is ready to fill in a person who is going to take care of the pain. Before you ever believe, God is the one who causes people to be born again. The world for the purpose of saving people, to those who are people. When the Holy Spirit causes people who are born again, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that Jesus really wants it to be really fun. Really to die and those of you that you are going to be justified for being accepted under the righteous banner of the Lord. Our judgment and faith fights are those of them and those who will send the Holy Spirit will come to be born again. What do we do though? We see that the foremost of sin, why do we do that? The Bible says that all of them turn away. All of them turn away from God. All of them turn away from God. All of them men and women will be accountable to the Lord. All of them turn away from God. The Lord that the things I wanted to do. Thank you.